challenge.
Opportunities.
The next idea.
Education is not a mechanical system, it's a human system. It's about people.
There has been a concerted push in this state to steer Michigan's young people towards STEM degrees or two-year degrees or technical certification programs. The push comes from the governor, from top business leaders. But one has to ask, are their kids in two-year degree programs or apprenticeship programs? Chances are their kids are in four-year college degree or grad programs of their choosing, and that includes the liberal arts. Our latest contributor to The Next Idea suggests it's time for all kids to do as the elites do and not as they say. Lou Glaser is president and co-founder of Michigan Future, Inc. Always good to see you, Lou.
Great to be here.
We've heard so much about moving to two-year degrees and the thrust of apprenticeship models of higher education. Why do you think this is the wrong approach?
I'd say that there's two different reasons why we think it's the wrong approach. One is I think it's at best an exaggeration of what's actually happening in the labor market. If you look at the job growth in America, so this is net new jobs, none of them are coming into skilled trades. What's happening in the skilled trades is people are retiring, and some portion of those who are retiring need to be replaced. But the growth in the jobs is either coming in professional managerial jobs that require four-year degrees or in low-skill service occupations. They're not coming in the skilled trades, with the one exception, I guess, which would be sort of like healthcare technicians. Healthcare continues to expand, but mainly what we're hearing about is these shortages in construction and manufacturing. Those jobs are declining, not growing. Now, there are good-paying jobs in plumbing, carpentry, welding, CNC operators, all the rest, but it's not net new jobs. The second thing is that the pay for those jobs is wildly exaggerated as well. So we keep hearing about these $100,000-a-year welders. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, MLive, has a wonderful website, and this now just came out with sort of average pay for all the occupations. The average welder in Michigan is making $18 an hour, less than $40,000 a year. So they're really not $100,000-a-year jobs.
In fact, I wanted to ask you about that, because one of the things that has struck me about all this talk that we're hearing from the governor, from folks at Business Leaders of Michigan and others about the need for more skilled laborers, if there really are all these manufacturing jobs going unfilled, then why haven't those wages for those jobs gone up significantly? Because it seems like the basic rules of supply and demand aren't working here.
Exactly. And I'm sure the governor and Business Leaders for Michigan believe that the laws of supply and demand in free markets do work. So every economist on both the left and the right that I've read that has written about this basically think there are no labor shortages, because you can't have shortages unless prices are going up. And in this case, prices are wages.
Well, there's also, I have to put that out, the loyalty question, because I think just about everyone in Michigan knows someone who has lost their manufacturing job.
Correct.
Littered through American and Michigan history, we have all these examples of manufacturers that, frankly, have not been loyal to their workers. So why would someone embrace a manufacturing job?
From my perspective, there are two big challenges in the skilled trades. One is the point that you just made, which is historically, people have gone into skilled trades because their dads, their uncles, their older brothers have gone into it. Kids growing up in Michigan today, really across the country today, have experienced constant layoffs and givebacks. At that point, it's not an attractive job. Why would you want to replicate your father or your uncle or your older brother's experience, which is you got laid off constantly over the last 10, 20 years? So I think that's a huge problem that only employers can fix. The second problem is I think it is true that the skill level have gone up for a number of these jobs. The skill problem is foundation skills. You know, we don't have a quality K-12 education system that's producing kids with the kind of basic sort of literacy and math skills that are needed for these jobs. You know, you can preach all you want about skilled trades. As long as the jobs are unattractive and you have K-12 schools that don't work and build sort of basic skills, we're going to have shortages.
We're talking with Lou Glaser, president and co-founder of Michigan Future, Inc., as we dig in here on the next idea and suggest that perhaps the idea of liberal arts education is something that really should be a focus for young people today.
Right.
And in your essay, Lou, for the next idea, you make a point that each new wave of tech innovation brings with it the need for new employees in sales and in communications and in training. How do the liberal arts help educate students for those kinds of positions?
This comes from a terrific Forbes article by a guy named George Anders, which had the title "The Useless Liberal Arts Degree Has Become Tech's Hottest Ticket." Hmm. He found that Silicon Valley now is hiring more liberal arts majors than they are engineers. I mean, he's basically making the point, if it's true in tech, it's true across the economy. And Georgetown has this wonderful center on the connection between education, attainment, and employment. They've found since the end of the Great Recession that of the good-paying jobs that have been created, and they also found that most of the new jobs are good-paying. They pay more than $50,000 a year. 1.3 million of them were in STEM and healthcare. 1.8 million were in the liberal arts. All the data is that the jobs are available. There's lots of good-paying jobs. Actually, majority of the good-paying jobs don't require STEM degrees. The liberal arts are important because they are what employers always say that they're hiring for, which are these broad sort of thinking, communication, and collaboration skills.
Yeah, what are these core skills that liberal arts education gives people? Because I'm curious how these students with non-STEM degrees can translate those to employers.
Right. So employers, if you actually ask them what they're hiring for, there's this employer-led group in Washington called the Partnership for 21st Century Learning, which Ford has been a part of, but mainly is tech companies, which have defined the basic skills as collaboration, communication, creativity, and critical thinking. That's what the liberal arts builds.
And that can certainly translate into something that's attractive to an employer.
That's what employers say they're hiring for. When you actually ask them, what skills are you looking for, those always turn up at the top of the list.
And what kind of jobs would that mean?
They're professionals and managers that are not in sort of math and science-based careers. So the jobs you and I do, accounting, marketing, sales, logistics, lawyers, you name it. The growth in the economy, the good-paying growth in the economy, is all in professional and managers. Some professional managers have science and technology backgrounds, some don't. Hmm. And those are the jobs that are growing. They are not declining. So Anders, who is going to write a book based on this article, he told me that it was he's been writing, he said, for 2-3 decades, that this is the most viewed article he's ever written. So it struck a chord. He's going to write a book. He claims in the outline of the book that history majors are the highest paid major in the country.
Wow. As a history major,
me too.
I'm rather thrilled to hear that.
Me too. And I've never seen that before.
Wow. What do you think are the biggest challenges, Lou, facing the expansion and the support of liberal arts education in our state?
Well, I think it's this fundamental misunderstanding of what a 21st century labor market is looking like. We really have come to the conclusion that, contrary to all the data, that if you don't have a technical specialty, either in professional STEM-related jobs or in these skilled trades, that you're going to be underemployed and be saddled with crushing. I mean, that's just
like good luck making your latte skills, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it's just baloney. To me, the big problem is we don't understand what the 21st century economy is going to require. The other thing is we still have this notion that there are career ladders, that, you know, you learn a set of skills today and it holds true for 30 years. Career ladders are toast because jobs keep changing because of technology. Successful careers in the future are going to look more like rock climbing than ladder climbing because you're going to have to constantly reinvent yourself. The rock climbing skills are these liberal arts skills. For the last 10 years, the hottest job that everybody was going into was petroleum engineers. They're now getting laid off left and right. If you don't have the ability to transition to a different set of skills, the way you transition is with these liberal arts skills, not with these narrow occupation skills.
If you were giving advice to a young person who's just starting an education path and looking at the job market that, as you say, there's no more ladder, what would that advice be?
So I'd say two things. One is build a strong set of lifelong learning and agility skills, that there increasingly is no certainty and you've got to be able to succeed. But secondly, the advice would be the same I would have given 20 years ago, which is follow your passion. Don't let some adult tell you what you're interested in is going away, because it turns out not to be true.
Lou Glaser, president and co-founder of Michigan Future, Inc., and you'll find his very, very interesting essay on the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. And we'd really like your thoughts on this, and you can share them in the comments section below Lou's essay or on Twitter at NextIdeaMI, or as always, on Michigan Radio's Facebook page. Lou, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Support for the next idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.